Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we're getting ready for a Monday night football game this evening. The Packers take on the NFC North division rival Minnesota Vikings, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. And make sure to check out our live blog coverage this evening right here at CheeseheadTV.com as well. Thanks, everyone, for joining us this morning. I am joined by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. She is approving comments this morning. But if you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, those comments will show up on our live blog as well. Monday night football tonight. First Monday night game of the season for the Packers. The only Monday night football game of the season for the Packers. Has some other nationally televised game. Of course, had the Thursday night game at the beginning of the season. Had a couple Sunday night games. And, you know, the Packers, they are rolling right now. And they just continue to roll. The story of the day, if you look at this morning's Packers Daily Links, I left a link to it at the top of the live blog. If you scroll up, the Packers' lead in the NFC North has been extended to 2.5 games following the Detroit Lions' loss to the Chicago Bears yesterday in other NFL action. The Lions lost 37-13 to the Bears. Kind of surprising the extent to which they lost. A loss by the Lions would not have surprised me in the least, but I mean the Bears had that game in the bag from the beginning. They took it to the Lions and showed the Bears are really coming on. The Packers' lead is currently 2.5 games before tonight's game is played. So with a win, the Packers can extend their lead in the North to 3 games. Or if they lose, it goes down to 2. And then things get a little more interesting because the Packers have to play the Lions twice yet this season and the Bears one more time. So a lot of season left to go and a lot of conference division games left to go starting tonight against the Vikings. Quote here from Tom Silverstein in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. He was covered the game yesterday in Chicago, actually, checking out how the game was going to affect the Packers and their standing in the pecking order in both the NFC North and the NFC as a whole. He writes, quote, the resulting 37-13 loss dropped the Lions into a second-place tie with the Bears and shook their confidence to the core. If the Packers win their next two games, as they're favored to do, the best the Lions will be able to do on Thanksgiving Day is draw within 2 games of the pace setters. So yeah, the Lions in a little bit of a tailspin right now. Not good news for the Lions. You know, they have some issues. That's for sure. And Matt Stafford was not playing too well yesterday, throwing several interceptions and long returns on them for one. Punt return touchdown by Devin Hester. Yeah, the Bears just took it to them yesterday. Just showed the Bears are for real. And when the Packers play the Bears late in the season, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. They said yesterday. They showed yesterday. The Bears come to Lambeau Field on, am I correct? That is the Christmas Day game. And the Packers kind of lucky that they went to Chicago earlier this season. This Bears team is starting to get on a roll, starting to get hot. And this is not a team I would want to face on the road right now. So the schedule kind of worked out nicely for the Packers in that way. They get to face the Bears at home at Lambeau Field on a holiday. Getting to be all these holiday games that the Packers have this year. The first time in history they're playing on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day. All division games as well. Thanksgiving at Detroit, Christmas at home against the Bears, New Year's Day at home against the Lions. Patrick comments on the live blog, ever since the loss to the 49ers, the Lions have started to fall downhill. Yes, they have, and that was the game that got so much controversy there between Jim Harbaugh and Jim Schwartz, the head coaches for the Lions, and their post-game handshake that Harbaugh was a little bit too exuberant about and kind of got a benches-clearing scuffle. I mean, the benches were cleared anyway. It was the end of the game. But yeah, the 49ers are real, and that is a team the Packers are going to have to look out for in the playoffs. Packers don't face them in the regular season, but is going to be a team the Packers going to have to look out for. And you know what? The 49ers having a good season, you know, the Packers really can't afford to lose too much because the 49ers are not far behind in the standings for, you know, things like buys and home field advantage. And, you know, I personally would feel confident if the Packers took on the 49ers at home. On the road, it would be a different deal. So the Packers have to continue to win as much as possible or hope that the 49ers start losing. Because that is a battle still being waged for the buys and the home field advantage in the NFC playoffs. Even though the Packers are looking to be a pretty good bet to win the NFC North with the Lions' loss yesterday, you know, this 2.5 game lead, the Packers can afford to lose multiple games and still take the division. But, you know, I think everybody's goals are a little bit higher right now than just the division. That's almost in the bag for most Packer fans. Certainly the Packers want to clinch that as soon as possible, and that'll be all well and good. But you know, the things like securing a bye and then securing home field advantage are the bigger goals. And the Super Bowl beyond that, but Packers got to get through their side of the playoff bracket first before we worry about the Super Bowl. Yesterday, just kind of interesting as we look at some other headlines in today's Packers Daily Links. Unfortunate situation yesterday happened to a former Packer, cornerback Al Harris. Found this at the National Football Post, quote, "Chances are this injury could be the end of Harris, who was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the sixth round in 1997. Harris excelled as a nickelback for 5 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles before heading to Green Bay. Al Harris suffering a torn ACL yesterday, at least that's what's expected. Not only ending his season, but at his age, perhaps ending his career as well. So unfortunate that happened to a former Packer in yesterday's Sunday action in the NFL. Al Harris was always such a good player when he played in Green Bay. And, you know, he was kind of on the rise as the Packers acquired him in a trade. Had several very good seasons for the Packers. And, you know, it's kind of been downhill from there, playing with the Dolphins last year in a very limited role, and with the St. Louis Rams this year, in which the Packers already beat, got the better of Harris. But anyhow, you know, sad to see his career end like that, and you know, he'll be fondly remembered as a Packer for the things he did in a green and gold uniform, including the touchdown, the interception for a touchdown in the playoffs against Matt Hasselbeck, a former teammate, former Packer, against the Seattle Seahawks. That play will go down in infamy. Hasselbeck guaranteeing, we'll take the ball and we're going to win. Remember that? Yeah, it didn't happen. Didn't happen that way. Man, those are the things you got to live with when you run your mouth off. We'll take the ball and we're going to win. Yeah, you're hailed as a hero if you win. But you lose, and then you got to live with that the rest of your life. And this day and age, people will not let you forget it either. Getting back to tonight's game, comment on the live blog. And by all means here, if you want to comment on tonight's game, feel free to call into the show. Put the number up on the screen. Phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Feel free to chime in at any time. Talk about the Packers, the Vikings, Al Harris, or any other topic you want to talk about. Comment from Pack Fan from Illinois on our live blog. I rewatched the last Packers-Vikings game, and I noticed the Vikings concentrated on running the ball off tackle on Walden's side. Walden did a good job keeping them from running farther outside, but there was a big gap left, and AP got to the hole before the middle linebackers could and gained some major yards. Yeah, I mean, Eric Walden, he's trending upward right now. You know, the more experience he gets, the more he plays in the Packers system and Dom Capers 3-4 system, the more he's learning, the better he's performing. Coming off a good game last week against the San Diego Chargers, probably the best game of his year at least. And, you know, he's doing better, but of course Eric Walden is known more for his pass rush than how he stops the run. And in a game like this tonight against the Vikings and one of the best running backs in the NFL in Adrian Peterson, it is going to be important to stop the run. And you can kind of watch that tonight as the Vikings, no doubt, again, will try to exploit that from at least time to time, if not quite often, as Pack Fan from Illinois points out on our live blog. You know, it was to the point where Frank Zombo was coming back for the Packers and was splitting snaps with Eric Walden, and you could kind of count on Frank Zombo playing the run a little bit better than Walden, although the pass rush might go, that edge might go to Eric Walden instead. But you know, kind of on a related note, going back to today's Packers Daily Links, there was a column in today's Green Bay Press Gazette written by Pete Doherty, calling for Vic Soto to get his chance. And it's not like Pete Doherty's been alone in this regard. Many fans calling for this and waiting for this to happen. And I've said the same myself. I did a Packers Minute that airs here on CheeseheadTV.com and radio stations throughout the state that the Packers need to do the same. Give Soto a chance. And if you look at the Packers Daily Links, Pete Doherty writes, quote, "You still have to wonder if a defense that needs the help shouldn't give Soto at least a handful of rushes with no possibility of dropping into coverage to see if he can juice their rush," end quote. And I would have to agree. You know, the Packers, you know, stopping the run is going to be a concern, as we talked about against Adrian Peterson. But the Packers pass rush, that has been average so far, and many might say below average as a whole, you know, counting everything into effect and every player into effect. You know, they could use a helping hand. And I thought it was a very, very fair article by Pete Doherty that pointed this out. You know, the topic was brought up a week ago, talking about Vic Soto, and head coach Mike McCarthy was asked, why is he not play? And McCarthy kind of gave a weird statement, you know, saying that, well, he's got to play on special teams. And you know, I fully realize that is how many people, you know, young guys, especially rookies, you know, get active, get on the field is through special teams. But everybody wants to see how Vic Soto plays on defense and how he's going to affect the defense, because that's where he made his impact in the preseason and in college, for that matter. And, you know, he played so well, got several sacks, forced fumbles, had an interception returned for a touchdown, didn't he? Or was it a fumble for a touchdown? He had a touchdown, however it came in the preseason. And, you know, it's time for the Packers to give Vic Soto a chance. And I digress here. Pete Doherty was very fair in his article and really asked questions why he's not getting the chance on defense. And, you know, the special teams was pointed out as well. But he interviewed defensive coordinator Dom Capers, and they really just, you know, Dom Capers expressed his reservations, mainly citing inexperience for Vic Soto. But as Doherty points out, it's him in coverage that really scares the Packers. He's not there yet, and they don't want him to be exploited when he has to drop into pass coverage. And that's understandable, and that's something that's going to be probably one of the slower things that comes to Vic Soto. But I mean, you know what? The Packers pass rush, and that's what he displayed in the preseason, could be benefited from his presence. And the Packers, I think, have to experiment in situations like that and just put him on the field on plays in which he will simply rush the passer. Now, I mean, if you put him out there 20 times a game, I mean, there's going to be situations. You can't rush him all 20 plays. I mean, you're just showing your hand as a defensive coordinator, like Dom Capers. Just, you know, obviously, if that's all you do, the other team's going to pick up on that and going to exploit that. But, you know, I mean, certainly you can start off with a couple snaps, see what Soto can do. And he just needs the experience. I mean, the only way he's going to learn is from playing, correct? I mean, that's the way it works. On the live blog, Pack Fan from Illinois comments, every time I see Soto playing in the passing game, I think of Desmond Bishop a few years back getting smoked by AP on a swing pass in Minnesota. Yeah, that was tough for several years for Desmond Bishop. I mean, Desmond Bishop sat on the bench for how long? 3 years before he got his full-time chance as a starter? Yeah, that was a long time that Desmond Bishop got his chance, and he took his lumps in the passing game. But, you know, Vic Soto wouldn't be alone. A.J. Hawk takes his lumps in the passing game many times. Desmond Bishop still does, as he did last week against Antonio Gates, tight end for the Chargers. Eric Walden still takes his lumps in pass coverage. Clay Matthews, pretty good. Pretty good in that regard, you know, defending the pass when he has to drop. Patrick commenting, I want to see Soto and Neal on the field on Thanksgiving. Walden is not great as a pass rusher. No, Walden is not that great. He's not great. I mean, he might be as good as the Packers have right now. That doesn't mean he's other teams out there aren't better. And Patrick really going all out here. They should also give Smith a shot at inside linebacker. Wow, so we're saying three guys who haven't played played one snap on defense this year in one of the few games he was active. Neal has not played. DJ Smith, I don't think, has played on defense. So we're saying give three guys who have played a combined one snap on defense. We should all get them out there on Thanksgiving. That's going quite extreme. I think that is a stretch right there. I do think you give these guys a shot, though. You know, one thing I've always kind of scratched my head at is, especially late in the games, even when the Packers are up by huge amounts, you know, these games in which they're scoring, aren't even close, like the Rams game earlier this year. Get those starters the heck out of there and give some of these young guys a little bit of experience. You know, it takes so long for the Packers, I think, sometimes to pull their starters. And I go back to the defensive side in particular, and I go back to last year even with the Packers. They I swear, like A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop took every snap last year, you know, before the injuries occurred and Nick Barnett was a starter. But I mean, you know, the Packers backups at inside linebacker last year, Matt Wilhelm, I don't know if he ever played on defense. He played on special teams a little bit. You know, I always thought the Packers are up late in games. They're up huge, as they were from time to time. You know, go back last year, go back to the Atlanta game in the playoffs, which is they just annihilated Atlanta. Pull these guys at the end of the game. Give some of these backups experience, so if there ever is an injury, God forbid, to A.J. Hawk, to Desmond Bishop, give some of the backups a chance to see what they can do, to learn, to get some experience. I mean, all of a sudden, right now, DJ Smith is your inside linebacker, your backup inside linebacker. No. If Desmond Bishop or A.J. Hawk gets hurt, DJ Smith is in. Either one of them. If either one of them get hurt. And I mean, DJ Smith does not have a snap on defense this year. And he's a snap away from being a starter. He's the snap away from playing full-time all the time. You know, not that I want an injury to occur to these guys, but I mean, that's the reality. And he needs some experience. You know, when the Packers killed the Rams this year, let DJ Smith play in the fourth quarter. My goodness, get the kid some experience so if an injury does occur, he's ready. He can play. And the same goes for these other guys, outside linebackers. You can add Brad Smith, Brad Jones to that list as well. Comment on the live blog. What has happened to Brad Jones? He had a decent first year. This year he just can't get off a block. Yeah, it is amazing how, you know, his first year, his rookie year in the NFL, Brad Jones had, I think, 4 sacks his rookie season. It's been disappointing ever since. You thought, wow, here's a rookie, got 4 sacks. You know, maybe this kid has a bright future. And, you know, I don't think teams pay a whole lot of attention to rookies. And perhaps that's the reason why they have success. You know, you look to Brad Jones, his rookie year 2 years ago, had 4 sacks. Last year, Frank Zombo, didn't he have 4 sacks his rookie year? Another in the Super Bowl? And, you know, I just think other teams perhaps don't pay a lot of attention. And, you know, they don't get double teamed at all. And all of a sudden, they get figured out. And, you know, that's just my hypothesis of what's happened to Brad Jones. Patrick comments, also put Raji at the nose where he belongs. He says, all right, I'm done venting. A lot of things here that the Packers could do, need to do, should do, perhaps do. Yeah, they've had their issues on defense this year. You know, it's, you know, how long can they go without, you know, just playing to the status quo? You can ask yourself. I mean, the Packers have really not played well on defense this year. So you ask yourself, I mean, how long can they go on? How long can this continue? Will it continue tonight against the Minnesota Vikings? Christian Ponder taking on a rookie quarterback. I think it's going to be important from a Vikings perspective for Ponder just to play mistake-free football. Packers are known for grabbing interceptions. And, you know, I think he's going to want to avoid that tonight. Not going to want to throw the INTs to Charles Woodson again like he did the first time around. And, you know, the Packers need to get those interceptions. That's been their way. They've stopped opposing offenses this year through the INT, a league-leading 16 of them. And, you know, it's the Packers, they have a tough time stopping opposing offenses, giving up yards all the time, many, many yards. And they don't want to do that again to the Vikings. Vikings could be pesky late in the game if it happens to be close. You know, they can find success on the ground with Adrian Peterson that will be tough to stop. Comment from Ryan on the live blog. I think Woodson is extremely motivated going into this game. He may not get 2 INTs again, but I think he has a big game. He'll be looking to exploit another rookie quarterback once again. He did against Christian Ponder. first time the Packers took on the Vikings. Did against Cam Newton earlier in the year. As I said on the Packers Minute last week, it's always a good time when you get to watch Woodson and Antoine Winfield for the Vikings. Two good cornerbacks. You want to watch good cornerback play? Watch these guys. Two of the better guys in the NFL at their position. But anyway, it'll be interesting. That is for sure what happens tonight. The Vikings have the talent. I say this all the time. They've got what most people would say is the best running back in the NFL. They've got one of the best 4-3 defensive ends in the NFL. And they've got Antoine Winfield, who maybe his overall game isn't, you know, that of, I don't know, a Darrell Revis, who is so good. But I mean, Antoine Winfield is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL against the run. Just a tough guy, hard-nosed guy. You know, you add that star power up, you know, add Percy Harvin to the mix. And the Vikings have their share of talent. You know, I think the overall talent, the whole team, can't stack up to the Packers. But if those guys are on, if Adrian Peterson's on, if Jared Allen is on, if Percy Harvin's on, if Antoine Winfield's on, you know, they're a good team. I mean, those guys can carry the Vikings. They can make it a game. Patrick comments on the live blog, keys to the game, stop AP and stop Jared Allen from getting to Rodgers. A job that will be upon the shoulders of Marshall Newhouse at left tackle, still starting for Chad Clifton with no end in sight, at least. May come to an end sometime, as Chad Clifton doesn't expect he has a season-ending injury, but you know, Marshall Newhouse just seems to gain experience. He hasn't been perfect this year, but he's been good enough for the Packers to win, and he seems to be, to me, to be doing a better job protecting Aaron Rodgers' blind side every game. You know, it seems like he's, you know, prone to a mistake a game almost, Marshall Newhouse. Every game he'll give up a sack or something like that on Aaron Rodgers. And I mean, no offensive lineman is perfect. I mean, they're going to make mistakes when you play. What do you play? 60, 70 snaps a game? I mean, every once in a while you're going to get beat. And I mean, the good guys, the Pro Bowlers, things like that, get beat a whole lot less. But I mean, I think for a first-time starter, Marshall Newhouse has played okay. And if he can just continue to progress, continue to grow, those mistakes become less and less as the season goes on, he'll be an all right player. And it'll be important tonight that he plays well against Jared Allen, stops him. Question from Pac Fan from Illinois, and this is saying I did want to address, are you doing a after-game show tonight? I am not. The post-game shows on Cheesehead TV are going on hiatus. I will no longer be doing post-game shows the rest of this season. It's just becoming too much for me. Not that I'm overloaded on my whole life or anything here, but I have to, usually the Packers don't play on Monday Night Football most of the time. And after games, I have to do the chips report, blue, red, and cow chips. I have to do the Packers Minute the night before it airs on radio stations. I had been doing the post-game show, and then the post-game podcasts are unbelievably time-consuming after doing them. And it just adding up where something had to be cut out of the equation, and the post-game shows are it. So there will be no more post-game shows, and it kind of also factored in that the Packers have several holiday games coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. games in which I'm going to be want to spend with family, and I'm assuming a lot of the listening audience, while I'm sure they love their Packers and like to watch a post-game show, some of them will be spending with family as well. So post-game show going on hiatus, at least. But anyhow, I will always be here on Railbird Central and continue to be blogging very frequently as usual. So nothing else is changing, just the post-game shows going on hiatus for a little bit. But anyhow, make sure to join us for our live game coverage, our live blog here at CheeseheadTV.com tonight, this evening here at Cheesehead TV. Join us, join Jamie Jors, join all of the rest of us as we watch the Packers take on the Vikings on Monday Night Football. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Enjoy the game, and make sure to check out our post-game coverage as well, the Chips Report, Aaron Nagler's gut reactions, and we have it all right here. Take care, everyone. Have a fun time watching the game tonight. We will see you later. See ya.